So just to review our parable, because it's going to come in, we have two characters. We have the Pharisee who gives thanks for not being like other people, including the tax collector that is present with him and also praying. And we have the tax collector who asks for God to be merciful towards him. And really, outside of the parable, we have the character of our listeners who have been judging others with contempt. And so I ask you this, if you want to raise your hands, that's fine, but think about it in your head. As you were listening this story, did you assign yourself to one of the characters? Did you assign someone else to one? I see a couple heads nodding. Who were you in the parable? Are you the tax collector or the Pharisee? Who did you sign to the other? Did you raise somebody up or did you put them down? Don't worry, I do it too. Definitely have read this scripture at first and went, oh, yeah. No. Do you ever pretend to be one when really you're the other? Because you know somewhere somebody is judging you. When we hear this parable, the simple translation is to just automatically assign a stereotype that one is the hypocrite and the other is a humble, redeemed villain. We see the parable as a simple problem. The Pharisee didn't ask for mercy, or we focus on how sins, how we should express our sins and ask for forgiveness. When the reality is that Pharisees are not synonyms for hypocrites, even though our gospels have done it, the church history has done it, to the point that anti-Semitism has come from that. Jesus and Paul both started out and were influenced by the teachings of the Pharisees. They interacted with them so much that that's why they appear in our scriptures. Saying that the Pharisees equal hypocrites is like saying that the Bible portrays all Pharisees in a historically accurate way. And it doesn't. As theologian Matt Skinner explains, the Pharisees of the first century were not legalists trying to earn God's favor, although Luke makes it sound like such in this parable. Instead, the Pharisees were a Jewish movement that emphasized the importance of obedience to the law of Moses. Living in accordance with Torah was a way of making God's benefits visible and accessible in all aspects of life for all who were Jewish. Kind of sounds like stewardship, maybe? Think about that. We'll come back. We also have the tax collectors. Now, historically, they were notoriously corrupt. They were seen as opportunists and collaborators with the Romans. They were seen as people who were willing to victimize their friends and their neighbors to make money. The shock or the point of the tax collectors in this parable is not about history versus the parable, but rather that when Jesus' audience would have heard that this man, this tax collector, was redeemed, was justified, they would have kind of taken a collective breath. The tax collector is not the kind of person that we expect to be easily restored. The tax collector doesn't promise that he's going to change his ways. He just asks for mercy. And also, as much as we want to assume that the Pharisee is the hypocrite, is the bad guy, Jesus never condemns the Pharisee. Jesus just lifts up the tax collector. The reality of this parable is that it's a trap. If you're a Star Wars fan out there, I'm sure you're picturing, yeah, I see a couple heads nodding again. It's a trap for us, for the listeners, for the people asking the questions. Because whenever we want to be critical of one of the characters or distinguish ourselves and our values clearly from one of them, the parable exposes disdain. What is disdain? Again, according to Matt Skinner, it is the manifestation of a belief that we know better than God who should receive mercy and how they should receive it. The trap for those listening in the day and for us today is that we do get caught up in judging others. It's exactly what the parable is telling us is wrong. When we focus on the simple version of the parable, we fall victim to judgment. Maybe some pride in there. Well, I don't do that. I worship God like this, so I'm good and they're wrong. We confuse who has done the good deed in the parable, in the story. We create a perception of other. Whether we're saying that we are the tax collector or we are the Pharisee, we are judging the other. We are classifying them as other, putting ourselves above others. We make judgments about who deserves God's love, who deserves God's mercy. We even might act as if we know better than God. When we focus on the simple version of the parable, we focus on things that are good about us. We pretend we are better than we are, when really, no one's side is better than the other. As much as we want to think about it. Whether we're talking politics or theology or something in between where there's a liberal side and a conservative side or a us side and a them side. We all do it. We don't want to admit it sometimes. But let's be honest, we kind of make ourselves feel better sometimes. And in doing that, we forget that in comparison to God, we all fall short. We are all equal in that we all fall short. But when we come back to this complex version, where the point is the Pharisees' contempt, not the actions of either, we start to see that the tax collector is not justified because he's perfect or because of pride. We don't even know that he changes his tune. He might just go right back out and be corrupt. But he is still justified. He is still forgiven. He's still given God's grace and love. He realizes that even with all of his sins, God still provides mercy to him, and he gives thanks for it. For the parable message is not about how to pray correctly, how to gain forgiveness, or how to bring up our sins, but it's based on God's unconditional love and grace. It's a reminder that we can't earn it. God freely gives it to each and every one of us. God gives all mercy. A respectable religious person does not have an advantage over an obvious sinner. When we look at the tax collector, we realize what real trust in God's love and God's mercy is. Because if a tax collector who is corrupt and who steals from his neighbors to suit his own self, if he can find God's mercy, if he is freely given God's mercy, who is excluded? All we can do is accept God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and give thanks, and take that mercy and love and act the same way towards our neighbor. The tax collector, it's not about admitting his sins, but that he realizes even with all of his sins, he is still loved by God, and he accepts that love from God and gives thanks. All summer, we have talked about what being a disciple means, particularly loving God and loving all of our neighbors. Last week, we talked about stewardship being a way of life, where we lovingly manage and share God's gifts and resources that God has given us. Part of being a good steward is being a good manager. Part of being a good manager is recognizing humanity in all. Recognizing that both the Pharisee and the tax collector in our lives are all beloved children of God. Sometimes it's hard. But it is not our job to judge or to compare one another. We live in a society that is constantly trying to order people according to their power and their worth. Within that, we use it to dehumanize others, to create fear. And when we do that, suddenly it's easier to commit violence, to commit, to take away rights. It's easier to put people in a caste system. But the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is that we are called as followers of Jesus to undo this system, to exalt those who have been lowered, and to humble those that have been exalted, so that everyone has a seat at the table. Everyone has a share in the conversation. Everyone is listened to and feels love. Everyone's humanity is respected and believed in. Dr. Martin Luther King called this the beloved community, where racism and classism did not exist, that all were included. And our God, our gospel, calls us to work towards this beloved community, to recognize humanity in everyone, and to respect that humanity. Now, I said that stewardship last week, that stewardship is not just about raising money. And it's not. But we all have to admit that part of it is about getting money. The way that we are continue to be good stewards with that money, though, is that we work in prayer with one another. We call upon God to help us discern how we spend that money. Its stewardship is not just about raising the money, but then sharing the money. Where is the majority of our money spent? Is it keeping the building running? Is it going towards a company that works to suppress and create oppression? Or is it going towards righteous endeavors that work for the humanity of all, that work towards beloved community? As we're making these decisions, are we making our own judgments? Are we deciding whether one is worthy to receive help or not? Now, I do have a slight caveat from that, because it doesn't mean just to give money to everybody, but rather sometimes it's about finding other creative ways to help those who need it. But ultimately, it's still about viewing everyone as beloved children of God. The last question to ask ourselves is: this money, is this mission that we're using, is it working towards creating beloved community here in Lancaster, here in the state, here in the U.S., here in the world? We don't have to pretend to be perfect. As I said at the beginning, I make judgments. It's so easy to fall into that, well, I do it better. It is. They're doing it wrong. It's so easy. And ultimately, the hope of this parable and of the gospel is that we don't have to pretend to be perfect. We don't have to self-deprecate ourselves either, though, to be worthy of God's grace and love. We just have to accept that we are loved and forgiven by God and give thanks for it. Stewardship calls us to give thanks and share that love with one another. And then when we change that mindset from one of comparison to one of gratitude, generosity, God's good gifts flow from gratitude. And then we all work towards beloved community and creating God's kingdom here on earth right now. May it be so.